Watch Queenie, the new original series on Hulu. Who is Queenie? She's in her 20s. She lives in London. She's facing all her first major heartbreak, first shitty apartment, and soul-sucking job. First therapy session to work through those mummy issues. Can she turn her quarter-life crisis into a revolution? Maybe. Will she make some questionable decisions along the way? Definitely. The new series, Queenie, premieres June 7th, streaming on Hulu. We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh, new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce, Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, has been trying to figure out why I'm still single, but I don't like care about that so much. But okay, oh, I was gonna do my dirty intro. Why I'm still single, even though you could come on my walls with rolls of wallpaper and then try to stick the wallpaper to the walls, I would say, wow, babe, that's a great solution. My guest today is a writer and producer known for her work on Silicon Valley, Corporate, Robot Chicken, and for writing the iconic Pickle Rick episode of Rick and Morty. Also, she's the creator and writer of the hit series She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, and my friend. I once cried asking for friendship because I have emotional imbalances. I'm so happy she's here. It's Jessica Gao!
Hello, my friend. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so happy that you asked me directly if we can be friends and then burst into tears.
You were like, let me file that away as something you do. Okay, Jessica, let's hop into it. Before we talk about dating and stuff, I just really love this story about your parents sending you back to China alone at 7 years old. And they were like, don't talk to anyone. Just like keep walking ahead. What was the thought process? I don't think I know the thought process behind sending you back to China alone.
Their thought process? Well, the party line that I was fed was that they wanted me to, they really wanted to cement the Chinese language, Mandarin, for me, because a lot of, because I came to America when I was four, and once I started school, you know, I started speaking English a lot more, and it happened to a lot of their friends' kids where they'd come to America and start school and they'd start speaking English, and then they would just stop speaking Chinese. But I always felt like that sounds like a discipline problem, like just make it a rule at home, you know? So they were like, well, obviously we don't want that to happen to our kid. And the only logical solution is to now send her back to the old country alone. By the way, we lived in the San Gabriel Valley, which is like almost 100% Chinese people.
And really?
Yeah, it's predominantly Chinese. And there's like you if you drive down any street in the San Gabriel Valley, most of the signs are like most store signs are in Chinese. And so there's like a Chinese school every two blocks. But they were like, the only solution is to go back. And they didn't like assign me as like an unaccompanied minor. They just were like, you're going to fly alone, but don't tell anyone. They specifically said to me, don't tell anyone you're flying alone because it's illegal and we'll get in trouble. And by the way, when I tell people this story, they're like, well, maybe, you know, they're immigrants. Like maybe they didn't know that you can do like unaccompanied minor. You can assign a failure to. My mom was a travel agent. So she knew. So then they, you know, they drop me off at LAX. I'm very bummed about it. And they were like, if anyone asks where your parents are, just say they're in the bathroom. And then when you get on the plane, like, remember who's sitting around you, like all the people around you, just remember them. And when the plane lands, follow them. And you just keep walking and following all of those people. And eventually you're going to like see people, you know, who are there to pick you up, which is what happened, to be fair.
Is so funny.
Yeah.
It's also funny that nobody like your parents are in the bathroom, but like on the plane, my parents are in the bathroom. Are they ever coming back? Well, also all these seats are full.
Nobody asked me. Nobody even asked me where your parents are. And also think about this. That means that when I landed in China, I had to go through customs and I had to go through like immigration and I had to fill out all those little forms by myself. I had a second grade education. So I filled out all of those forms, went up to the window, gave them my passport and all my forms, and they looked at it, looked at what the penmanship of a second grader and said, this all looks in order, stamped it and sent me on my way.
That is so wild. It also truly, it like gives validity to Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2, where he's like, they go somewhere and he goes somewhere else. Right?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. They go somewhere and he goes to New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And nobody asks. They just let him on and he gets out and he's in New York City, baby. But I also love the idea of a second grader trying to go through customs because me as an adult have been like, wait, what? What do I do? I give you what? What? God, that's so funny. I just love your mother. She makes me really happy. I didn't know this, but once your mother offered you $10,000 per hand for a hand transplant.
Yes. Wait, did I tell you that?
No. My assistant does research.
Oh, man. Yes. My mom. Well, this is excellent research. My mom, I have very soft hands, very smooth. And my mom would always stroke my hand and go like, oh, your skin is so soft and so smooth. There aren't any wrinkles, you know. And by the way, my childhood, my nickname in my family is Pig because I was born in the year of the pig, but also because they think I'm fat. And so my mom would call my hands my hooves. She'd be like, look at your little hooves. They're so soft and smooth and wrinkle-free. And then she would talk about her hands, like, because she doesn't do any skincare, which is wild for an Asian woman. And so her hands are all, like, wrinkled and sun damaged. And then she would, every time she would, you know, stroke my hand, at some point she would tighten her grip, her eyes would go black, and she would go, I wish I could just cut them off and put them on my wrists.
I then, love your mother.
And then one year at Christmas Eve dinner, when like there's like 20 people there, in the middle of dinner, my mom, I don't remember what prompted this, but shouts across the table to me, Jessica, serious offer, $10,000 per hand for a hand transplant.
I mean, that's $20,000.
I'd have no hands.
But, okay, in my brain, I would be like, sure, but you have to give me hands. It's like, also, do hand transplants.
But then I'd get her hands.
But maybe you get somebody else's hands. Wait, are hand transplants, is that even a thing? Is that a real thing?
I don't know. It just sounds like there's so many factors. It's like you have to have the same blood. It probably would work since we're such closely related, but it seems like there'd be such a high chance of rejection. And I don't think it would be a completely functional hand, even if your body didn't reject the transplant.
I don't think it would.
More research into this.
I spend the next 20 years of my life researching hand transplants and, ooh, okay. Mars, my producer, says it exists. A hand transplant is a lengthy procedure that may last 18 to 24 hours.
What?
I don't have that kind of time. I got to record podcasts. Wait, when did you come back to the U.S., to the States?
Just a year later. Although the original agreement was for 3 years. They originally wanted me to go for 3 years. I talked them down to 1 year with the caveat that if I did my 1 year, when I came back, they would have to get me a puppy, which is like all I wanted in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they agreed. But I was like, these people have burned me so many times. I need proof. So I was like, I need proof that we had this conversation, that we had this agreement. We have to put it in writing. And so I made them write out a contract that said, like, if Jessica goes to China for a year, she can have a puppy. And I made them both sign it. And then armed with the contract, I was like, okay, now I'll go. And then I went to China for a year. By the way, didn't let me live with either sets of grandparents because my mom said they would spoil me and she didn't want a brat when I came back. So
Your mom is so funny. This thought process of parenting is so funny. I want her to be fluent in Mandarin. I don't want her to be spoiled. I don't want her to be with people who know her and love her.
So and wait, who she knows, too. Who she knows and trusts and feels safe with. Because she
who
sent me to go
with
her old best friend from the neighborhood who I didn't know.
Did she have kids?
Yeah, she had a son.
Oh, okay. Was that fun?
Yes and no. He was very sweet to me. He was like 2 or 3 years older than me and like very much like treated me like a little sister and was like really, really nice to me. But still, like, it must have sucked for him.
This lady's coming. This little girl's coming for a year.
Yeah. And we had to share a bedroom.
Oh,
I know.
God, that's so funny. My family did something like that too. My uncle lived with like his godmother for a little bit, but I believe my grandmother was still there in Barbados. For whatever reason, he had to go live somewhere else for a little bit. I think that's the story they told me. I don't know. When I went to Barbados, they kept telling me the most insane things that I was like, immigrant parents do the wildest shit for no fucking reason.
Yeah. But I do think that like most of the non-European cultures are kind of like that, where it's kind of like the community raises, you know, it's always because it's like multi-generational household. You live close to like your extended family. So like everyone, it's like it's kind of like it takes a village philosophy.
Yeah.
And so it's like totally normal for other people to just pitch in and take care of your kid. Although I think even culturally, it was very weird for everyone that my mom was like, I'm going to pay my best friend to take my child, even though both sides of grandparents were very happy to take her.
It's just so funny. I love it. Wait, Jessica, when did you start dating? Do you think you're a late bloomer or an early bloomer?
Definitely late bloomer. I was not a prolific dater, but also I've been with my husband for 12 years. I mean, we've only been married for one, but we've been together for 12 years, you know?
That's such a long time. How did you meet?
My high school best friend was his roommate. And they had a pool party. Yeah. We tell the story two different ways of how we met. So my version is, you know, my childhood best friend is like, I'm having a pool party, blah, 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 because he was like going away to go to grad school. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh, please come. And I was like, oh, great. Where does he live now? Altadena. No, thank you. but then I was like, wait, he's moving away for 4 years. I should probably try to make an effort. So I just thought to myself, I'll go for like 45 minutes because I don't know any of his fucking friends, you know, and I'll just say goodbye and then I'll leave. And so I go and it's a pool party. I walk through the back gate and my now husband was sitting like closest to the entrance of the gate. Mm-hmm. And so I walk in. He said something smartassy to me. And so I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then I see my friend across the pool. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go talk to my friend now. Mm-hmm. And I walk over. I start chatting with my friend. But out of the corner of my eye, I can see this guy, like, watching me from across the pool. And then after 10 minutes, he comes all the way around the pool, drags a chair, pulls it up to us, and joins our conversation and, like, chats with us for, like, an hour. And I was like, this guy is obsessed with me. So that's my version of what happened. Mm-hmm. His version is that I walked through the back gate into the pool area. And as soon as I walked in, he crested from the pool like a beautiful merman, backlit by the sun, glistening dewdrops coming off of his beautiful hair. And then he shook his gorgeous mane and water droplets got everywhere. And I came on the spot.
Somehow, I think his version is the most correct. that's so funny that he was like, oh, no, I was this like hot person that was like so sexy and irresistible and you wanted it. Wait, 12 years ago, we don't have to reveal your age. But before that, were you dating? Were you dating a lot?
No, I was not a good dater. But also 12 years ago was pre-apps. So I never experienced app dating. Although I did OkCupid briefly, but it was like, you know, that was when you were still logging into a website. It wasn't like
yes.
So like I can't, when I hear about like my single friends like talking about app dating, it just sounds like a living hellscape. Oh, I tell my husband all the time, like, I'm willing to put up with any amount of your bullshit at this point to not have to go back to dating. And that's really backfired on me.
I've heard friends complain about their partners with things where I'm like, oh, you should break up. Like, that's, you're not compatible anymore. That's bad. And then the friend go, well, I just don't want to do dating again. Like, I simply don't want. And I'm like, I get it. It really is hell on fucking earth. It is awful. I don't wish on my worst enemy. Just sifting through people, having to talk to the most boring fucking people. It's just awful. I hate it. You're lucky that you didn't have to do any of that.
I feel very, very lucky. And I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like there's so many wonderful, like, talented, smart, funny, beautiful women, single women in my life, present company included. And that I'm like, it boggles my mind that you don't have, like, a great partner, you know, because you've got the whole package. But I don't feel the same way about my single male friends. Like, all of my single male friends, I'm like, you're single for a reason, and you got to work on that.
God, that's what people say. I'm like, do you have friends? And like, I do, but they're single for a reason.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put you through that. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, why? Why are there wonderful single women, but not men? Why is that?
Yeah, I want to know too. I need answers.
Wait, does your husband have any friends?
Same answer.
Mm.
Single for a reason. I think
feel like I've asked you that before.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like best case scenario is like you catch a good man on his like first divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting old enough to where like that is it. And I might have to be a stepmommy. Could you imagine?
Oh, boy. You know what? You would be such a fun stepmom.
I think so, too. Because I really feel like I'd be like, okay, listen, I simply don't want to be your mother. The only thing, like, you could tell me shit, I'll tell your dad. But, like, if it's like, super important. But if it's not, it could be our secret, baby.
Yeah.
Just, like, be safe. And I'm not here to
parent you. Exactly. Like, be a safe, loving adult that they can trust. Like, I feel like that's, like, best case scenario.
I think that's what I would want. But then when I think about like a teen in my house, I'm like, oh, you're not sticky anymore, but you're dirty. And teens like don't bathe. And like,
yeah, they smell.
They really do. And they're scary. Like my friend's child, we were like being sassy to one another. And then she said something extra sassy. And I was like, that hurt my feelings. But it shouldn't have hurt my feelings. Oh, my God. Real quick, we gotta take a break. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. Fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Newly with two U's with code DATEME20. Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Wait, Jessica, so did you date? What was your high school dating experience? Because mine was, there were no gentlemen. I had crushes on men or boys or whatever, but it was never reciprocated. But wait, did you, I was like the only black girl in my class. It was like me and my sister. Were you the only Chinese girl or?
No. I mean, that's the San Gabriel Valley. And also, well, so in junior high and high school, I moved to like kind of the easternmost end of the San Gabriel Valley where I would say it's more like there's probably like 25% Asians, which is still a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So and so I went to a school where there was still like a ton of Asian people. And so I'm very, very grateful that I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley and not have like the kind of identity issues that a lot of my friends who grew up in like all white spaces had, because, you know, especially during my most formative years, like all through elementary school, we were the dominant race, so, like, you know, and so like every single class had more Asian people than any other race. So like, so I grew up just being like, yeah, I'm the normal one, you know, and then junior high and high school, I went where it was, there was a lot more white people and a lot more Latino kids, but like there were still so many Asians that it didn't feel like I was never the only Asian in any space there. So that felt fine, but, but I didn't, I had a non-existent dating life in high school, but I spent all of high school, with a crush on one dude.
Oh my God.
I know.
Do you like have his Instagram? Do you like know what he's up to?
No, I have no idea, but I'm also very like inactive on, cause I feel like Facebook is like what millennials use to keep in touch. And I got rid of it like maybe 10 years ago.
Same.
And I, you know, I don't know if you went through this, but I, before I did it, I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to miss out on so much. This is the only way I can keep up with people. Like I'm going to be so out of the loop and out of the conversation. And then the moment I deleted it, I never thought about it again.
Yeah. I deleted it. And I remember being like, oh, what if I logged back in one more time? And then I was like, for what? To see more children that your high school classmates had, like people I don't keep up with. Like I keep up with the people from high school that like I love and care about, which is two people. And then from college, if you want to call it that, I went to an acting school for 2 years. But like I keep up with like five people from there. Those are like my actual friend. Like it's just like the people in my life are the people who I like genuinely like and care to keep up with. And I don't need a Facebook, but sometimes on Instagram, I'll look up some of my crushes to see how they're doing, who they're married to, and what their children look like. And sometimes I have dodged a bullet because some of their kids came out funky looking. And I'd be so mad if I had a funky ass kid. No way.
Did you go to any high school reunions? Did your school do those?
Yes, there was a 10-year reunion that I was gonna go to, and then I was like, for what?
Well, I guess it's also different if you have to, like, travel to go, you know?
I would have to travel to Jersey, and I was like, I don't have family in Jersey anymore, because it was just, like, my little mom, dad, sister, and mom, dad, dead, and sister's in Chicago now, so I was like, I'd have to get a hotel, and I'd have to, like, do it, but and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I don't think I missed out on anything, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm also in awe of people who are like, okay, so I just learned I was talking to Sashir and we were talking about like how she did a bunch, like, okay, I don't understand how people went to school from 9 to 3 p.m. and then stayed for more school for clubs. Like, were you in clubs?
Oh,
in school?
Dude, I was like Max Fisher from Rushmore. I was in so many clubs.
I don't understand
so
that
involved
reference.
In the school. Oh my, you never seen Rushmore?
No.
I shouldn't be surprised. It's very rare that I bring up a movie and you're like, I've seen that.
Yeah, no. It's like, what did I watch? Just like a wall? And I was like, this is entertaining.
Oh, I was in a million clubs and I was like very involved. I was like the president of two different clubs. I was the secretary of a third one. I was in like seven clubs. I also like tangentially did theater. Like I did theater tech. I was the school DJ. I wrote for the school newspaper. I did so many things.
That's so wild to me. I truly was like, I gotta go home. I don't want to be here anymore. To do what? Also, I didn't understand how you joined clubs. Like, in my adult life, I'm like, what did you do? Like, how did you find out where the clubs were? Like, I sound so dumb, but I simply don't understand how it was done. And so she was like, was your sister in clubs? I was like, yes. And she was like, why didn't you ask her? And I was like, because I didn't want to be at school. Like, I ended up doing track and field because Mr. Haynes, my gym teacher, we just had like a quarter where we were in the locker room and that was our gym class. And he had me bench press and he was like, oh, you're strong. And I was like, I guess. And he's like, you should throw the shot put. And I was like, okay, where do I go for that? He's like, track. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And then he literally brought me down to the track to meet the coach. And then the coach was like, okay, well, here's how we do track. You have to warm up. And I was like, no, I won't do that. Because you had to like run around the track. And I was like, I simply won't. So I would come late every day. Nobody ever said anything, but I would come late all the time and then just like practice throwing the shot put and then go to meets and had a good time. And then with drama club, my friend John Mason in chemistry class was like, do you like want to do plays and stuff? And I was like, I guess. And he's like, come with me after school to the drama club. And I was like, okay. I, to this day, wouldn't know how to do it on my own.
This all tracks because when you, the first time you and I hung out together, it was on a group vacation and you basically were like, someone has to tell me what to do and where to go.
Yeah, could not figure out the driveway of that house. And then in the morning, I remember looking around and everyone was doing stuff. And I was like, can someone instruct me on like how to clean up better? Because I don't have any, I don't know what to do. I'm very much a person who's like, I like have to look around the class or like look around at people and go, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
You need an example. Yeah. It worked out really well for our dynamic because all I want to do in life is tell everyone what to do. And like, I remember we went to the airport and like, they were like, oh, we're boarding through this gate. And to be polite, I was like, oh, go ahead. I was going to let you walk first. And you were like, no, someone has to go first. And that was the moment where I was like, this is going to work out really well because I was fighting every instinct to go first because I wanted to go first, but I was like, no, you have to be polite. This is your first time hanging out with this person. You have to be polite and let them go first. Treat them like a guest.
And I truly was like, no, I don't know how to walk on a plane. I think I've done 100 times, but I hate going first. I simply hate it. I always like to like watch because I don't want to look stupid, even though I look stupid all the time, and that's okay. I own it, but I try really hard not to because sometimes people go, oh, you're like pretending or like, you know what's going on. And I'm like, no, no, I actually don't. And I did this game show recently where we had to answer questions and then you got to see the group's questions against the contestants' questions. And then you can like get up and help the contestant. And it was like something about like, what is the first Bill of Rights that protects free press? And I was like, Bill Clinton. And then they were like, what? And I was like, that's the only bill I care about. It was just a silly little joke. And then when I got up to help the contestant, he was like, no joke answers. Okay. Like actually try to help me. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, I am going to try to help you. I wasn't trying to help you when I was sitting and that was just, that's for fun. And I was like, you're being mean.
Let's kill him.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay.
I love that that is your solution.
That's my go-to answer for everything.
Kill him.
Wait, I got to show you something. What? So as you know from hanging out with me a lot, murder is very often my go-to solution for a lot of things. And on when we were in the writer's room for She-Hulk, like, anytime I didn't like if we were talking shit about somebody, anytime somebody, I hear about somebody doing something that I didn't like, or I just didn't like them as a person, I would say they're invited to die. They're cordially invited to die. And so for Christmas, the writer's room got me these custom printed invitations for me to send out that say you are cordially invited to die on like beautiful stationery.
That's so sweet. I love when people do shit like that. That's, am I going to cry?
I know, it's so thoughtful.
I love it. I also love that you once brought a ham leg from Costco to the writer's room.
Yeah, and we went through three entire ham legs during the course of our writer's room.
I simply love that. I feel like you run like such a fun fucking room. I want to be in a room with you.
We had a good time. Yeah, we had a good time because I don't believe in staying late. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything gets funnier after 7. And also, I don't think you do work, like you produce good work if you don't have a life. Because all we do all day in writers' rooms is steal from everyone's personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And if you're not having personal experiences because you're stuck at fucking work every day and night, like, then there's nothing for us to mine.
I agree. So I did my special in, I think it came out December 2021. And then, like, the expectation is after a special comes out, you tour. And I was also working on a show, so I had no time to live a life. And that's what I said to my reps. I was like, I haven't lived. I don't know how to write a joke about being on set or, like, driving to a lot. I was like, that's not relatable. And I have to, like, live a life to figure out how to relate to people again, you know? And it was like, and I didn't want to keep talking about the pandemic. So it was just such a mind fuck. And I fully agree with you. Like, you have to fucking live in order to create art.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a finite well of experience that you're drawing from. You have to keep making them. Yeah.
Jessica,
but we had a lot of fun. Yes.
Real quick. We got to take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who, like, is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can, like, order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho! Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, so you've won an Emmy, which is really cool because I have not.
And that's the only reason it's cool. And the moment you win yours, it's going to cease being cool.
It's not going to be cool anymore. But you won for Rick and Morty, which is a show that, like, I feel like boys like that show. I think women like it too, but I feel like it's like a boys show, and I've only really heard men talk about it. But you wrote it for Pickle Rick, and I've never watched Rick and Morty, but I've heard about Pickle Rick. I've heard about it before I met you. And so I've learned, I didn't know this, that you were harassed on Twitter and your personal information was leaked by the show fans.
No, my personal information was not leaked, but even before the third, so it was the third season that I wrote on it. It was the first time they hired female writers. And before this third season premiered, all these trolls like found out that there were female writers and were like, how dare you? And were going online and just like really talking shit and talking shit in general, but then also like tweeting at us. But like truly the most insane things, because they're people who don't understand how television is made. So people would be like, why don't you give Dan and Justin their show back? Like as if they hired these like lower level writers who then came in and were like, well, it's our show now. Like we just like Somali pirated their show and we're like, this is our show now. And
that
you got to do what we
so
say.
So wild. The internet is so silly and dumb. And but also fun and happy and silly. But it's just funny that people were like, these women, we hate, they're going to ruin our show. And it's like, it's a room. You generate ideas. And then, you go off to script or whatever. But it's from a room idea. It's from a room outline.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, the showrunners are the ones who call the shots. Like, they're the ones who, they're the bosses. Like, they run everything. Everyone is trying to help them achieve their vision, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, okay, I've never asked you this because I'm, you know, trying to be chill and cool and stuff and keep our friendship nice and light. You got to work with Meg Thee Stallion on She-Hulk. And because I watched all of She-Hulk when I was in my phase of I think I care about Marvel, because I had just done a podcast about Marvel. So I was like, I care about this whole universe. But now I'm like, oh, it's too much. It's Lord Jesus. But what was it like to work with Meg?
Our time with her was very, very short. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we shot everything that of hers in like one day, because, you know, she's busy. She's booked, busy.
She the Stallion.
And that day, I think we were shooting two episodes at once. Ugh. So I was covering the other set. I was only on her set for like maybe a couple hours. Oh. Like, basically when the episode I was covering like wrapped, I like ran over to the other stage. And I met her briefly in her trailer. She was very nice and just, she's very sweet and clearly so talented. Mm-hmm. Like, she really is just a machine. Like, she just turns on and, like, does everything perfectly and was so game for everything. It was incredible. And, like, and Tatiana Maslany is, like, the biggest Meg Thee Stallion fan. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, I just was dying every second of the day.
What a dream.
Truly, also, such a dream.
Shooting two episodes at once, I think, should be illegal. I think it's rude.
Yeah.
Especially like block shooting, where you're like, okay, this is 101, this is 102. Yeah. Because it's like the same. The reason why, okay, if you're not in the industry, you block shoot and do two episodes at once because you can use the same set for two episodes at one time and then you can like move on or whatever or change the stage, the sound stage. But like, you'll be like, wait, what is happening? Where am I coming from? And then someone's like flipping pages being like, oh, you're coming from this. But then script changes happen. So then it just gets so fucking confusing. And it should be illegal.
It is very, very hard because you're doing it for like pragmatic reasons, you know, and like money saving and time saving reasons. But then it like really fucks with the performers because they're like, okay, now I'm at the end of the season and I'm in this emotional state and all of this shit has happened. But then the next scene I do, it's the beginning of the season and and I'm a totally different person.
And I'm talented, but you have to remember I'm an idiot. So it's so hard to do those switches sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, Jessica, I've also never said this to you because, again, friendship, don't want to like overstep. Listen, let's pitch to Marvel a show about Storm. I don't want to play Storm. I'm too fat to play Storm, but I can be Storm's fat best friend.
All right, let's do it. I'll text Kevin Feige right now.
Text Kevin Feige. That's what I call him. I'm her fat best friend, and I'm like, Storm, it's so hot. Can you make it windy? Wait, I just want to go back to like high school and stuff. Like, your mom is truly like this incredible character of a woman. And she's so funny to me. Did she ever put pressure on you to date?
Oh, or to, God, like,
get married?
No.
Oh, really?
No. Well, that's the thing with Asian parents. You're not supposed to date ever until you graduate college. And then you're supposed to be immediately married. Like, that's the trajectory. You're not allowed to date all through high school. You're not allowed to date all through college. And then the moment you graduate, they're like, why aren't you married? You should be married and having kids. And you're like, walk me through your logic of how this would work.
That is very wild. Why aren't you married yet? Well, I wasn't allowed to date, so that's why.
Yeah, but and so they were so psyched. You would love the story of when I got engaged. It was very sweet and engagement story. And then after he proposed, like, we go inside and I mean, I could tell the whole long story, but it's very off topic at this point. But basically, after he proposed, we go back inside the house. And
wait, how did he propose to you?
So he proposed to me during the pandemic, during lockdown. Mm-hmm. And it was on his birthday, which was really smart because I never would have saw it coming, you know, like, because at that point, we'd been together for like 7.5 years and we'd always like talked about getting married, and we just never felt any pressure to do it because I think we both were just like, well, this is obviously a forever thing. So what's the point, you know? Like, there just wasn't any pressure. We're like, we'll get to it. Like, it's on our checklist, you know? Like, it just didn't feel that important because we were like, this is already forever, you know?
That's such a dream. I want that.
I know you love my relationship.
I do. He's so nice.
He is great. This is going to make you cry, but truly there is nobody else in my life that is more team me than my husband. I know, it's really wonderful. So we've been talking about it, you know, like just as this abstract, like, yeah. Like, we'll eventually do it. But like, neither of us is in a hurry. And then like around like, you know, 2019, we were on vacation and he was like, maybe we should start talking about what kind of ring you want, you know? Like, do you have any ideas of what kind of ring you would want? And, you know, and I was like, I don't know, I hadn't thought about it. Let me think about it. Because I'm not a diamond girly. Because I'm very anti the diamond monopoly.
Yes, blood diamonds.
Yes. And no, I love blood diamonds. No, just kidding.
Those are my favorite type of diamonds.
Yeah, that's my thing. I actually think they should be bloodier, and that's why I'm anti-diamond.
More people should die over these diamonds.
So you know, I was like really like trying to figure it out, and I took a while. And a really good friend of ours, she kind of took the initiative because she and her husband are like our best couples friend, and they've been like, get married, you know. So she and I went to lunch, and after lunch, she was like, why don't we pop over to this, you know, like, this, like, vintage jewelry shop, you know? And it's just, like, a couple doors down from where we're having lunch. And I was like, all right. You know, I wasn't in the mindset, but we went and looked, and I saw this gorgeous, like, emerald Art Deco ring from the 1920s. And I tried it on, and it was exactly my size. And I was like, I love this ring. And so she took a photo of it and sent it to my husband and was like, we found the ring. And my husband didn't believe her. Because this was like summer. And I found out that he didn't buy that ring until like 3 or 4 months later. Thank God it was still there. And yeah. And then he didn't propose me until like another like 8 months later. So I was like, what the fuck was the holdup?
Yeah, truly.
Well, he said that he didn't believe her that that was the ring because he had consulted with her over the years, like on gifts to give me, like Christmas mm-hmm. gifts, my birthday, you know. And there were a couple of times where she missed the mark really badly. And he was like, this is not like a fucking purse that I can like go and return. Like this will ruin her engagement. And I want it to be perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want a bad ring to ruin. If you're wrong, this ruins her engagement, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and she was like, I'm telling you, I was there. She loves it. That's the one. And so they fought for like weeks about it until she finally convinced him that she was like, that she wasn't wrong, that I genuinely mm-hmm. love this ring. So then he went back and bought it. But he said he first called the store and said, like, I'm interested. If anybody else comes in and is interested, call me and I will.
Oh, okay.
I will
that's
buy it out.
Smart.
So he kind of quote unquote had it on hold, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why he would happily spend weeks arguing about whether or not it was the right way. So then he got it, and then he told me that the reason he waited so long was he was like, oh, you know, I'll propose to her at Christmas. And we went to his parents' house, but then it didn't feel like the right time. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't feel like the right moment. So then he was like, I know, in the spring, we'll take a nice trip. And in the spring of 2020, we will we'll take a wonderful vacation. I'll propose to her on vacation. And then lockdown happened. And he was like, okay, after 2 weeks of lockdown, when the world goes back to normal, we'll take a trip. And then it was like, oh, we're probably never going to take a trip ever again.
We're in our homes forever.
Yeah. So then he thought like, okay, what's the next major occasion? My birthday. But it was very smart because I never, of all the days of the year, I would never expect his birthday. So then for his birthday, I was like, what do you want to do? Like, you know, we're in lockdown. It kind of sucks. Like, how do you want to spend your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you know, I kind of just want a quiet dinner, just you and me at home. Like, let's go get takeout from our favorite restaurant, which is Gwen. And and then let's eat on our porch. Yeah. Like, we'll have a candlelit dinner on our porch, you know. And so what's funny is the week before his birthday, he started talking about how he wants to get a leash and harness for a cat and harness train him. And I was like, why? And he was like, you know, so he can hang out on the porch with us. And I was like, for all those times we hang out on the porch with our cat. And it was because he wanted him to be there. So he bought a leash and harness and put her. So we went and got takeout. We set up this like nice candlelit dinner on our porch. We leash and harness the cat to the porch. And the cat's like, why the fuck am I here in a harness?
Leave me alone. Let me be inside.
Yeah. Like, why am I here? And tied up. And we have this lovely dinner. We'd already done presents, you know, and we have this lovely dinner and we're done eating. We're kind of just hanging out. And then he goes, oh, I actually have a present for you. And I said, but it's your birthday. And he said, well, there's no celebrating you without, or there's no celebrating me without celebrating you. And then Nicole's going to cry. And then he gives me this wrapped gift and I open it up. And so my husband's an artist. He's an illustrator. And it was a framed drawing that he had done of him proposing to me and with the cat as the witness. And then I look up from the picture and he's down on one knee with the ring out. And our cat is still there on the harness looking like, why am I here?
I don't think I knew that part.
Yeah. Isn't that so sweet?
That's so sweet. God.
Yeah. And he gave me this lovely speech about how important I was. And he, you know, and like, and how all the good things in his life were because I was in it. And then he was like, you know, so will you marry me? And I just went, okay. And then we went inside and we FaceTimed with his parents and like his mom bursts into tears and is crying and his parents are so happy. And then we call my parents.
Uh-huh. Oh no!
And my mom, we tell my parents and my mom screams in English. So that's how you know she was excited that she's speaking English. She screams in English, finally, someone finally wants my daughter.
She is literally the best part of any party. I just know it. That is the funniest thing to say. I'm getting married. And she screams, finally, somebody wants my daughter. What is your dad like? I've never asked about your dad.
Oh, he's because he gets overshadowed by the star of the family. He's like Homer Simpson. He doesn't want to be bothered. Like, he wants to just lay on the couch, watch TV. He wants to sit in his recliner and watch Family Feud. Like, that's all he wants. Oh. He doesn't want to have to participate. He doesn't want to be part of the conversation. He doesn't want to give an opinion about something. He wants to, like, chill out and eat.
I'm into it. That's a nice life.
Like, at every family party, like, every holiday celebration, at some point, and my parents love hosting. They always have, like, 12, 15, 20 people over for, like, any holiday. At some point towards the end of dinner, when everyone's kind of done eating but still like hanging out at the table, my dad will just silently get up and leave and disappear and never come back. And you'll be like, where is he? And he's in bed watching TV.
I love that. That was my dad. My dad also was like, I think I'm overwhelmed and overstimulated and I simply don't need to be around these people anymore. But my mom loved being around people.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, it's the classic introvert extrovert pairing.
That's okay. I'm an introvert sometimes, but most of the time, no, I'm an extrovert. But sometimes I need to recharge. I just want someone who's like that, like an introverted extrovert who's like, I'm down to clown, but also I'll let you clown as much as you want to. And I like it. You and your husband truly seem like, you compliment each other so well. And that's so nice.
We're a good fit. And I also think that one of the secrets, at least for us, of having a healthy, balanced relationship is that we have separate lives.
Mm.
Like, I feel like a lot of people run into this issue of, like, expecting your partner to be everything for you. And, like, that's just, I just don't think that's realistic. I think that's too much pressure to put on one person. Like, he can't be my everything. I'm not going to be his everything, you know? Like, you need other people in your life. You know, like, I don't want to drag him to, I never understood couples where, like, one partner always drags the other person to events that they don't want to go to. Like, I love that he doesn't want to go to all the social events that I go to, because you also don't want to, like, why would you drag your partner there if they don't want to be there? Then you have to babysit them all night. And then also, like, they're just having a horrible time. Like, why? Like, I'm perfectly fine going to somewhere and just hanging out with my friends. Like, I don't need him to just physically be there, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah, I don't get people who bring their partners everywhere. When we went to Palm Springs and ran into a mutual friend of a couple of ours, and she was on a girls' trip, and she had brought her fucking boyfriend. And when I walked past the table, I was like, the vibes are weird here. And I was like, oh, there's a man amongst the ladies? And I was like, that's unhinged. That's like next level. I can't be without this person. But it's like, I want to be in a relationship where I can leave you. And you can go fucking find a thing to do. Even if it's just like watching TV all weekend free of me. And then you can be like, oh, I watched this and this and this, all this stuff you hate. I'm going to tell you about it. And I'm like, yay, I don't have to watch it, but I'll listen to you talk about it because you like it. That's what I want.
Yeah, because then you'll have stuff to talk to each other about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
12 years is a long time. Do you think that's the biggest thing that makes it work? That and you like genuinely like each other. I hate couples who seem to hate each other. And I'm like, it's not funny. Y'all should break up.
Like, why? What is the point? Yeah, I think so. I think it's all of those things, you know, like it still surprises me that like when I go out, like went out drinking with my friends, like when I come home late and he's already asleep, I still get bummed out. I'm like, oh, I missed out on his last waking moment, you know, like. Okay, when I put it that way, it feels very
that he's passed
creepy
on and you're
murder.
Getting into bed with a corpse.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
If that's what you're into. But that's so, I love that. That is so romantic.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh man, I missed out on saying good night to my favorite person, or I missed like a kiss we could have had, or he could have told me something that would make me happy.
Yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
And it's nice
that
it's been 12 years and I still feel that way. And I live in fear that one day I won't feel that way anymore, because that would be so scary to me if I stopped feeling that way.
Oh God. And it happens to people.
Yeah.
It's like you just wake up and you're like, not this. But I feel like when that happens to people, it's not a sudden thing. I think from the jump, there is like a little thing in the back of their mind that's like, this person isn't right. Do you know what I mean? Ooh, Mars said something. Mars says, oh, it happens a lot when girls change birth control. That
hormones.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Ugh, fucking hormones, man.
I don't know if you're on birth control, but I was on birth control for a year and it fucked me up. I got it removed because I had the little arm implant and I feel so much better.
Wait,
so
did we talk about the copper IUD?
I don't know if we have.
That I had a copper IUD for 9 years and I loved it because there's no hormones.
Oh.
It's great. I love that. Yeah, because like once I hit my early 30s, like maybe even like 29 or 30, like you know, like oral birth control, like the pill. Why did I say oral birth control? I could have just said
because
the pill.
Because you're fancy.
Because I'm a secret doctor. it just started all, because I used to feel, I know it's hard to imagine me feeling smug, but I used to be so smug about the fact that I would take the pill and like I never had any of the side effects at all. Mm-hmm. Like all my female friends would complain about, you know, like weight gain and moodiness and bloating and all and mood swings and all that. I never had any of those. So I was like, sorry, built different, genetically superior. And then when I was like 29, 30, because there was a short time where I was off birth control and then I got back on it. And then I was like, wait, like something's wrong. Like this is hitting me differently. Like, is it the brand, you know, like, because I think I was on generic and I was like, put me back on the name brand. And it wasn't that. And I was like, why? Like then I was getting all the bad symptoms and I was like, what's happening? Did they change the formula? And my doctor was like, no, you're older now and the hormones affect you differently.
Oh.
Yeah.
How wild.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't like that. I don't want hormones. And so then we talked about an IUD. And then he was like, yeah, you can get the copper IUD. There's no hormones. It's just the copper works. And so I got that. And it was wonderful.
So they just put copper in you. And then what? It like dings around and it kills the sperm.
Like a pinball machine. It just shoots around 24/7 hunting down sperm.
Maybe I'll get that. I don't know. I'm getting old enough that I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get pregnant. Let's get real. If it hasn't happened, I don't think it's happening.
Copper makes your womb inhospitable for, I think, for just a fertilized egg to be able to stick around.
Whoa. I wonder how they figured that out.
Who knows? But so it's a little, so it's the same, because there are IUDs with hormones.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same thing, except it's just made of copper and has no hormones in it, and then it goes up in you and it just stays there, and it's just, it basically is there to like kill the vibe for anyone who's trying to have a baby in
there. That's so funny. Sperm is like, hey, I think I want to talk to this egg, and it's like, no bitch, no you don't, see you
everybody
later.
Out it's like a bouncer, it's like everybody out, this is private fucking property. It's like a 24, it's like ADT private security for your womb. It's like everybody out, no one's allowed to stay here, you guys have no, this is trespassing.
We're missing an opportunity for to have adult Schoolhouse Rock. I would really enjoy seeing that animated with a song.
That would be great.
Like,
okay, we'll go pitch that right after this.
Truly would be a dream. Oh, Jessica, thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything that you want to promote?
Nope. And do not find me on social media. I'm not there. All I want to promote is my beautiful friendship with you, Nicole.
This is so funny. I think you're the only person to be like, no, I simply don't want to promote a thing. I don't want to. How about this? Watch She-Hulk on Disney Plus to get you some residuals.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. I rescind that.
You created it?
Yes. Yes.
Which is so fucking cool.
Watch She-Hulk Attorney at Law exclusively available on Disney Plus. It's a great show. A lot of wonderful people worked on it. And we're very happy and proud of it. But
it's
still don't find me on social media.
So funny that wasn't the thing that you were like, I should promote that. Like, it's impressive to get a thing made, especially with Marvel property. And it's cool that they chose you. And it's so awesome. And you're just like, whatever, nothing. Jessica, I think you're so funny and smart and talented. And I'm glad you're my friend. And I'm glad you did this episode of the podcast because I find you to be delightful.
Oh, likewise.
Yay! Well, that's it for this episode.
You didn't ask me the question.
Oh, yeah. I fucking forgot. This is so funny. I forget, I would say, 60% of the time, and Mars sometimes has to tell me, or we just all forget. Okay, Jessica, would you date me?
Of course I would. But how funny would it be? How mean would it be if I reminded you didn't ask me and then I just went, no.
It would be on, I wouldn't be surprised. I would be like, oh, Jessica. And then I would bring it up later and I'd be like, are you sure you don't want to date me? Although I do want to go back to those outlets in Palm Springs. I had a very nice time with you. Walking through the Gucci store being like, no, no, no. We don't like any of this. No, no. Okay, that's it. For this episode of Why Won't You Date Me? If you like it, you can rate it, you can subscribe, you can give me 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you write me a nasty message hitting on me to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, I will read it. And also, don't send Mars dick pics. She don't want them. Okay, this person said, I'm a galloping on a black stallion in a lush field. My ass is bouncing up and down. My large double D breast spilling out of my leather corset juggles with every gallop. I see a large tree in the distance, its green lush branches laden with pink budding blossoms, which fall, dusting everything below it in pink petals, including the fairest maiden of them all. It's you! Okay. That wasn't nasty, nasty. That was more of like a Danielle Steele, like romance email. But I like it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco. With talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.